Let me invite you tonight over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, verse 1. Proverbs, chapter 20, verse 1. Proverbs, chapter 20, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people. Lord, we've come to hear from you. We ask your blessings on your word, on the service, on each one. And we pray, Lord, that you would empower the service with your Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would be led by your Spirit to hear from you. And Lord, to be drawn closer and to be strengthened in the faith and grace that you've given to us. May you be glorified, and we'll thank you, for we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Warnings and Instructions. That's what you find in the book of Proverbs. Warnings and instructions. And I want to start off by saying, you know, attitude is important. And I was looking up the word attitude, and I was thinking, really, as I was reading this, attitude just came to mind. The attitude of the heart of the individual is important, is it not? That determines a lot which way we are pointed and which direction we are going. The attitude, if it's a bad attitude, or if it's a rebellious attitude concerning the truth, you're not going to be very receptive to the truth. And I think of the lost world being like that. The child of God can find themselves in that kind of a place too. Sometimes for whatever reason, you probably can examine your own life, and sometimes you're just not in the best of attitudes, right? Maybe you've heard years ago, you might need an attitude adjustment. And so I looked up the word attitude, and lo and behold, aviation came up. And attitude is important in aviation. And this aviator, this fellow, he had gotten finally his solo license. He had done parasailing and some other kinds of air gliding type events in his life. But it was different when he was sitting on the runway for the very first time. He passed all his tests, and now he was in the plane by himself getting ready to take off in the airplane. And he began to rehearse in his mind all these things that he had learned. And he wrote this writing last year in 2020. And he said, attitude in aviation is everything. Well, let's apply that spiritually too. Attitude in our relationship with the Lord really is everything. And if you can stop and think about the different kinds of attitudes that a plane can find itself in. It could be in a descent. That's an attitude, isn't it? That's going down. It could be also an ascending attitude. And some people say, well, that's the safest place to be. Not if you ascend too quickly. You'll stall your airplane and you'll go down. So that's turning to the right is an attitude, turning to the left, different kinds of attitudes. But he said this, he said in aviation, there are five attitudes that are, and more, usually at least one or more than one is involved in an aviation accident. Can you imagine that? One or more of these five attitudes are involved. Let me tell you what he said they were. Number one, an anti-authority attitude. I was waiting to see, you know, which way the plane was turning. And that is, don't tell me what to do. And I guess you can do that in the air. Impulsivity, being impulsive. Do something quickly or I'm just going to go for it. That's a dangerous attitude that people find themselves in an accident. Invulnerability. It won't happen to me. It won't happen to me. The macho attitude. I can do it or I got this. That's a dangerous one. And then resignation. What's the use? Giving up. Just quitting. What's the use? And I got to thinking and I said, you know, not only does that affect an airplane, but that affects us too and our relationship with the Lord. And he came to this conclusion. He says, when it comes to risk and consequence, I try to live by two foundational concepts. Now, there was nothing spiritual about this. This was written in an aviation magazine last year in 2020. And here's what he said. These are the two concepts he tries to live by. I see the world as it is and not how I want it to be. Isn't that amazing? I see the world how it is and not how I want it to be. Number two, the only things I can ever hope to control in this world are my own mind and behavior. We can just give up on everything because of what everybody else is doing or what everybody else isn't doing. And unfortunately, if we're not careful, we can give up on our relationship
with the Lord, and our attitude will be in the wrong direction, and that we don't want it to be that way. So tonight, I think God has some things for us to consider concerning His warnings and instructions and our attitude. Which way are we pointed? Where are we headed? And the first thing I want to, the first thought is sin against our own souls and drawing out understanding. And also the third point will be even as a child is known. And we'll take a look at just the first 15 verses here. But look at verse 1 with me. And this is a sin against our own soul. Notice he says, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby, he says, is not wise. I don't have to experiment. I don't have to debate or decide. I can just say, well, God has said it. I think it's the truth, and I can guard against that and be really have the heart and child heart and mind of a child and trusting the Lord and say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this. Then notice what he says here. Verse 2, he says, the fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. Why would you stir up trouble? This is what he's saying. Why would you look for trouble? So, listen, the king is the one who has the authority. He's the one that is the ruler. And why? You want to have the right reverential respect. Why would you want to cause trouble? I see sometimes people, and I understand that police officers are people who've been given authority, and maybe it can be abused. But I have my little experiences that I've had with law enforcement, I've always found that if you respect them, you don't have any troubles. If you just, you know, are compliant, I've never found one. I'm not saying that they're not out there, but for the most part, I've never had really any issues. In fact, I've had some of them be very kind to me. Got pulled over. I thought, uh-oh, what was I doing? And it was one Saturday morning, real early, not here. It was in Texas. He pulled up right behind me, and I pulled over. There was three lanes going each way, and there was nobody on the road. And he didn't come all the way to the car. I rolled down the window, and I looked back, and he just walked out about in the third lane. He said, just wanted to let you know your taillight's out. And I said, oh, thank you. and he said, have a good day, and we went on. But I think for the most part, if we respect authority, we will do fine. And the Lord has something to say about that as well in the book of Romans. But look at verse 3. He said, it is honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. This is a sin against our own soul. Listen, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife. You can tell when there is a strife coming up. You can tell when there's contention building up. The Bible says it does us well to turn away from that, to stop that, not to continue to push, because you're going to push the button and somebody's going to get upset. And it's amazing how many times you hear about these different escalations of conversations that all of a sudden work out to a catastrophe. And so you never know, especially with people that you don't know. And then number 4, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. These are, again, sins against our own soul. They're not wanting to go out because it's cold, or really any excuse, or they're lazy and they're not wanting to do the work. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. And we don't want to be in that plight or position. Then the next thought is drawing out understanding. God wants us to draw out truth and understanding. And he says this in verse 5, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. So it's there, the water's there, but you have to draw it out. And so along those lines, listen to what he says here. Most men, verse 6, will proclaim everyone his own goodness. There are good things there, but listen, not in mankind, but in the Lord. So he says, most men will proclaim every man his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. And he's talking about one who is faithful with his God, with the Lord. A faithful man who desires to be faithful with his God in spite of who's there or who isn't there. We have a privilege and a responsibility to seek the Lord that we might walk upright before Him. Amen. Verse 7, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. These are the truths that God has given to us for wisdom. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. Isn't that good? This is a righteous king. He doesn't want people that will approach him with a bribe. When he starts to see some, can you imagine a king, and all of a sudden he furrows his brow at something that is not right, that is not righteous. Boy, listen, if we had leaders would understand that truth. And by the way, listen, parents should understand. We can't just furrow our brows if we're not standing in righteousness. It's a contrast. And it's something that people, it's not palatable. For somebody who is corrupt or unjust in their dealings, all of a sudden to try to hold up righteousness and the truth, it doesn't ring true, does it? And so people don't respect that. But if it's a righteous king, and they stand for the right things and they furrow their brow, then all of a sudden the evil gets scattered. They're not there. Verse 9, who can say I have made my heart clean? I am pure from sin. And of course, nobody can do that. Divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. So he says, when you're playing with the scales and you're trying to put them in your favor, he says both of them are an abomination. Now, we don't deal in the marketplaces like they did back in the day of Solomon, where they had scales and they would have unjust weights. In other words, so they would put, you want to buy a pound of something, they would have something that maybe a weight that weighed more than a pound, so that when it didn't quite make it to the pound, does that make sense? It shows it's registering a pound, but you're not really getting a pound of whatever it is that you're purchasing. And so that's something that the Bible says, that God says is not pleased with. But how does that affect your life and my life today? Well, it's in our dealings. We know in our heart of hearts if we're not doing things that are right. And may we walk upright by the grace of God. May we say to the Lord, Lord, I want your righteousness in my life. In every area, I want to do the right thing. Because it is the attitude. Listen, it's not just a one-time event. It's our daily attitudes. It's our daily steps that we take throughout the day, day by day, that govern where we're going to end up at. A lot of times people think, well, I will never rob a bank. Yeah, but if we are unjust in the little things, God tells us, it's going to affect our whole life. And so God says, be careful that you don't allow these things into your life. And so this is drawing out understanding. And then lastly, even as a child is known, look at verse 11. Even as a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. You can tell. So, for example, if you tell little Susie, I'm trying not to pick anybody's name. If you tell, the child, listen, don't go into the cookie jar. Oh, I won't go into the cookie jar. Okay, I'm going to take a nap. And then all of a sudden you get up and the cookie jar is half gone. And you and the kid are the only ones in there. And they say, well, listen, I didn't go into the cookie jar. And then the mom says, but look, they're half gone. And you've got crumbs on your face. And there's milk on the table. Do you want to explain that? And they might even go so far that, listen, kids are something sometimes. Well, you see, what I did was I opened up the cookie jar and tipped it out, and the cookies fell out. I didn't go in the cookie jar, right? But that's not being honest, is it? And that needs to be dealt with. We laugh at that. And to some degree, if it's a 2 or 3 year old, maybe, but even still, we really want to teach them to do uprightly, regardless on that. So he says, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Notice verse 12, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. He says, be active. God rewards those who work and who do what is necessary, the things that need to be done. And he helps us in those things. God's not asking us, especially when it comes to our service to him, for us to do it in our own strength, right? I mean, he mentions that more than once in the scriptures, that we're not to serve the Lord in our own strength. We need to do it in his. And so how do I understand that? How do I come to that place? Well, it's like this. We ask the Lord, we invite him into our life to help us with those things and to do those things. And then we glorify him when we see that it's accomplished. But what the problem that happens is we come to some things in the Word of God where they appear to be an impossibility for us. I can't do that. Let not that scare you away, but Lord, you've called me to do it, so I'm going to ask you to do that in me, and I'm going to attempt that for you and trust that you will empower me and enable me to do that. And just examine your own life and say, are all the areas of my life upright? Better yet, bring them before the Lord. Lord, are all the areas of my life what you want them to be? And you will be amazed at the comforter that he's given to us, the Holy Spirit, that will bring things to mind and say, okay, this is not right in my life. And God, you've promised to make the difference. So I'm going to bring this to you that you might change it. Then notice this. Verse 14. It is not, saith the buyer, but when he is gone his way, then he boasteth. It is not. If you don't understand what that is, sometimes in making a purchase, make sure some people will say things, well, that's too expensive. And meanwhile, they're thinking, that's not a bad deal. It's too high. And then the individual might be pressed to sell it because they need funds. Or they're moving or something like that. And so they haggle with them and they say, oh, no, that's too high. And the person's finally, you know, because they've got to get rid of it or what have you. For whatever reason, they need the funds. And so they make the sale. And then the person walks away saying, boy, did I get a good deal. Yeah. Well, God says that's not the thing to do. Be upright. Give people a fair deal. You'll never go wrong. Do you know, God will make it up to you and me. In many other ways, he will make it up to us. And by the way, the Lord says if you're smitten on the one cheek, punch him back. Is that what the Lord says? No, he says, turn the other cheek. And what is he teaching us? Trust me, I'll make it up to you. Look at Joseph. He was mistreated by his own brothers. And did the Lord take care of him? Was with him the whole time, wasn't he? Wasn't comfortable, but the Lord was with them. Even Israel, when they were released, gave favor to the Israelites in the sight of the Egyptians, and he paid them back for all the things that were done to them. And then lastly, notice this. There is gold and a multitude of rubies. Listen to this. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. You know what God is saying? And he says it in another place, that our relationship with him and that being upright and righteous is more valuable than any kind of rubies or precious metals. And so God places that higher than anything. And your name, a good name, is rather to be desired, the Bible tells us, than precious gems or gold or anything of that nature. So God gives us warnings and instructions tonight. And really, I just found that quite interesting. I looked up, I wasn't expecting to see the aviation part of it there. But our attitude, the direction that we are pointed in, are we pointed toward ourselves? Or are we pointed to saying, God, what you say is right? Because if I'm pointed to myself, I can redefine the Bible. Yeah. I might even get some people to jump on board with me and like that. You've heard of the KJV. In our house, sometimes we have the JRJ version, the JPJ, the JDJ, and Gracie's really Kellyana, so she'd be really the KGJ, right? So we can come up with our own, and I'm not saying that they don't try to re-identify or redefine the Bible, but we do that when we complain about certain things, don't we? I'm guilty of it too. So I threw it. The GHJ version. All right, that's me. But here's the thing. God says, does he not, in the book of Thessalonians, in everything give what? Do we always do that? But God said to do that. And we will only be able to do that. Now, God is not saying this. Whether you like it or not, give thanks for everything. But no, listen, evaluate this. Make sure your heart is in the hands of God. And in that way, you can be thankful for everything. You follow that? We cannot do it in our own strength, but how can I be thankful in everything? Well, you know what? After this life, we're just getting started because of my Jesus. Amen? I'm in the hands of the King of Kings. Surely the best is yet to come. God has been so good to us. All of us. He has. Tell me what other country really, you know, that you would really rather live in. I mean, there may be some others that might be, but praise God, we don't live in a third world nation where there's no food, and people are really starving. We've never experienced that. My kids tell me at different times, "Man, I am starved." I said, "You've never starved. You may have been hungry, but you've never starved. There's no food in the house. No, there's just no food you like in the house. There's food, you just don't like it. So it sits there, right? The dried goods or whatever, you know. But there's food in the house. But wait, there are actually places in this world there is no food in the house. And we don't really live there. I mean, it may be to some degree, and I know some people struggle in our country, but listen, when those who are in poverty are walking around with cell phones, who are we kidding? That's poverty? That's poverty? I'm not saying people aren't down and out. And I'm not saying people, you know, don't need assistance. But really, I don't know that we really fully understand that. And I thank the Lord for that. And so really, Lord, you've given me a lot physically. But the best possession I have is my Savior. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the reminder that you give to us, the instruction and wisdom that you desire us to walk in, to enjoy, that you've given to us as your children. Bless the rest of the time together as we break off for prayer. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.